You know, when I first started reading Hebrews, I was like, yikes. Because it is in depth. And it talks very clearly about our stand with Christ. And where our stand against the enemy and over the footholds of the enemy. Right? It was probably a month and a half ago, I got woke up in the middle of the night by my lovely daughter. Not this one, the little one. It was probably about 4 o'clock in the morning. And she said, "Daddy, Daddy, I had a bad dream." And I went, "Okay, so that means I got to get up." You know, I don't know if you know me. I'm not a morning person at all. I'm asleep till 10, get up and do stuff. I'm a second shifter. So that's just my mentality. You know, I sleep until I wake up and then I go about my day and then I'm up till about 2 a.m. So at 4 o'clock in the morning when you wake me up, it's not a great time for me. So Zoe wakes me up and says, "Daddy, Daddy, I had a bad dream." So I went, "Oh, okay." So I carry her out to the living room, lay her on the couch. And of course, at that point, I can't sleep. And she wants to watch a movie. I'm like, "It's a school night. You can't watch a movie. You got to go lay down." So laying down. So I turn on the TV. And the only thing on that early in the morning is infomercials and the news. I watched the news for about 15 minutes and I was having bad dreams. All right? Because in 15 minutes, I learned that we have wildfires in California that's just taking over all of California. We learned that in the Philippines, there's a volcano that's going to erupt and take over and just wipe out the whole civilization there. I learned that politicians and entertainers are perverse. And we're talking in 15 minutes of just watching the 4 o'clock news in the morning. I learned that the greed that's moving in our nations with companies that are trying to take over other companies and the backstabbing and the things that are going on and all the shadiness in business deals. We're learning that that's in the forefront of what we're going through. And then I learned about the lawlessness of our government. 15 minutes. And I was ready to go hide. And I'm like, no wonder. No wonder we're going through the heartaches we're going through. And I'm like, "Jesus, take me now." You know, 4 o'clock in the morning, I was half asleep, half awake, you know, in that midst. And I'm just like, "God, what is there? What can we do?" God spoke to me very clearly of a verse and it says, and we're going to, this is going to be the text today. And it's Matthew 6:33. Some of you know that. If you read Matthew 6 and you start in verse 25, it says, "Do not worry." And I tell you, I'm a worrier. Anybody else a worrier? Anybody like, you know, "Man, I hope they're not talking about me. I hope they're not doing this. Oh, well, I hope I did a good job at work. I hope they're not mad at me." You know, and it starts consuming my life. So when I read this, I'm like, "Don't worry." And I'm like, easier said than done. Easier said than done. But then I got to verse 33 and it says, and it gives you the key on how not to worry. It actually gives you the key to have faith. And what did we talk about last week? We talked about having faith. But it gives you the key on how to have faith. And it says, "But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Amen. Each day has its own trouble. He said we're not even supposed to worry about today. But if I was to seek first, what does that look like? That's scary. Because most of the time I think as people, we seek last. We tried to handle everything on our own. We tried to do everything. You know, I got to go meddle in this. I got to go meddle in this and got to go do this and got to go do that and go do. And then I go, oh. And then when I mess it all up, I go, God, help me. When God says, if you seek me first, I would have fixed all that. So I really feel that in 2018, as we start a new year, I think God is calling us back to basics. And what does that mean? That means in our personal lives, God's calling us back to the basics of seeking His kingdom. In your personal life, as a corporate body of believers, we have to be seeking God in all things if we want to understand what God's plan is for New Life Church. In November, I'll go back even farther. In October, I usually shut off my brain with youth group. And I'm like, what can we do next year? What are we going to do next year? We got to do the next big thing. And then it's like, wait, we still got two more months. What are we doing this year? What am I doing this Wednesday? What am I doing for the youth today when they call me? Am I saying, hey, just look forward to next year? That's not real encouraging. That's not real exciting if I say, hey, just hold on. Next year's going to be better. And they're like, well, right now everything's horrible. But I got to put myself in that moment now. And that's what he's saying. He said, don't worry about next year. You know, if we're seeking God, we don't have to worry about the growth that's going to come in 2018. Because it's going to come because it's God's plan. All right? Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
All right. So I feel like God is telling us to focus on what He wants to do. What has He asked us to do? I go back to the very first line in that, and he says, seek first the kingdom. Ever played hide and seek? What's the fun part? Finding people, right? Or hiding. But we're not going to talk about that. We're talking about seeking. To discover. To quest after is what the definition actually says. Think about it. If we search God like a quest, like a discovery, and it's new and it's fresh, and it's like, God, you have new blessings today. What are they? Instead of, well, God, I already know what you're going to do. You're going to take care of me. You're going to do this. And I think sometimes we get in that routine of God's here. I know He's there. He's got my back. I'm okay. Instead of saying, God, you lead. I'll follow. What's your plans for the day? Over the last 2 weeks, this is what I've been challenged with. In my own personal life is how do I seek the kingdom of God? Well, it's real simple. I wake up in the morning or afternoon or mid-morning. I wake up and I go, God, what's your plans today? Lord, I submit myself to you. What do you want for me today? And I tell you, when I walk into Kroger's, and Jody can attest to this, is usually I have the worst attitude that morning. I know I have to go to work. I got to get up. I'm like, I got to go to Kroger's today. I don't want to deal with people. I don't, you know, you start running your brain. I don't like working with this person. I don't like doing this. And I just start getting bombarded with all this negative, all this stuff. And I realize that my mentality shouldn't be, I'm going to a job I don't like. But that's my circumstance. That's what I look at because those are the things I try to have control over. And God said, you know what? Give me that. Seek me at Kroger's. And I'm like, you want me to what at Kroger's? You want me to seek after you at Kroger's? What does that look like? I've never done that. You know, Kroger's have seen me at my best and they have seen me at my worst. You know, I've been there for 16 years now. It's a time that, you know, I wasn't walking with the Lord fully in obedience that whole time. You know, it's been a process changing people's minds about me. That there's actually been a change in my life. But if I seek God, what does that mean? That means I'm open to whatever God wants for that day. Regardless the consequence. if I seek God. And I ask God, God, give me a divine appointments. Give me something today that I can further your kingdom. Well, the other day, I'm walking out of my lunch. I'm on my phone and I'm talking. I'm getting ready to call Jody just to say, hey, I'm on lunch, you know, just to catch up. And this guy comes walking across the parking lot. I mean, like fast. He's a guy I work with. Comes walking up to me fast. And I'm like, okay, is he going to jump me? What's going on? You know, it's negative 10 outside. So I'm like trying to get to my car as fast as I can because it's cold. And he walks up to me and goes, hey, I need to talk to you. And I'm like, okay, like, what's this all about? And he looked at me and he goes, I need you to pray for me. And I went, what? Like, I just stopped. Like, what? He goes, I just found out yesterday I have prostate cancer. He goes, and I don't know what to do. And I go, I'm going to pray for you right now. That's God's leading. You know, I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't like circling out going, who can I pray with today? What can I do? And no, it's being available when God is ready to move. It's walking in obedience, as we learned last week. The complete obedience of Christ, then God starts doing stuff. And he knows that we can handle it. He knows that we're able to listen because any other time, man, I would have kept walking in my car. I probably wouldn't even seen him. He would have probably been chasing me across the parking lot. Or I say, yeah, I'll pray for you, and then I go on my business. But those are divine appointments. Those are things that we, as a body of believers, need to be doing every day. Is looking to who we can minister to, putting the Jesus glasses on, so we can see who we can minister to. And this sermon is as much for me as it is for you. I'm not saying I have it all figured out. I'm not saying that at all. But when I come back to basics, when we come back to basics, what does that look like? Pastor Rick and I have been going through a book called The Normal Christian Life by Watchman Nee. And I'm talking about in-depth. You know, he walks through Romans. And it is the most in-depth study of Romans that I have been through, to the point where I have to read, like, I read a chapter and then I just have to chew on it for like a couple days. And then I'm like, what is he really saying? Is he really saying this? Am I doing this in my life? I'm all about application. How do I apply this book into my life? It's not about here. It's so much of in my feet and walking and doing what God wants me to do. Are you excited about finding God? Can we all say that? Do we want to say that? Do we want to be excited? I mean, like, we go to the ball game, man. If your team, it's a close game, you know, and the guy hits a three-pointer at the end to win the game. Aren't you excited? Okay. But that's what I'm saying is, if your team is a close game and you win, you're excited. Well, guess what? You're on the winning team. You should be excited because you have won. You have victory. I was talking to Joanne Wednesday night, and I go, God kind of just shared this with me. Is so many times the enemy tries to engage us. And me being spiritual tries to engage him back. Like, I'm going to pray, I'm going to go against you, there's time for warfare. But not over the stuff he already has victory over. We already have victory. If we engage with the enemy over something we already have victory in, all we're doing is taking our eyes off of Jesus and focusing on the enemy. Who wins? The enemy. Why? Because we took our eyes off of God. We took our eyes off the kingdom. Instead of saying, I have victory in the name of Jesus. It says in the Bible, submit yourself to God. Resist the enemy. And he must flee. It doesn't say, submit yourself to God, stand in the enemy and fight him, tooth and nail, have a boxing match. No, it says, have victory, stand. And he resist him and say, no, I have victory in the name of Jesus. And guess what? He has to go. He can't stand there. I'm not talking about warfare. Because warfare is different. When you're interceding for somebody, man, you better be on your A game. When you're ready to intercede, man, you better be willing to go through the same warfare that person's going through. Anybody intercede? Everybody know that? That when you start praying for somebody, man, you better be ready to go through the battle. That doesn't mean we shy away and we don't intercede for people. That just means we need to stand in victory. When that person can't stand in victory, we will stand in victory for that person. And we will teach truth. And we will proclaim the name of Jesus over them. I have no idea where I am in my notes. How many people think free will is a good thing? Let me explain. Free will is a God-given thing to us. Therefore, God gave it. It must be good. But what does God really want us to do with our free will? Choose Him. Choose Him. That's what He wants with our free will. He says, you know, if we are to go forward, we have to use this S word called surrender. That's not real popular in Christian teaching today. It's mostly, hey, you can do this. Hey, be positive. God will help you. Hey, do this, do this. But we never understand that we have to become less. We think we can overcome. Well, we can, but we have to become less. We have to become less so He can become more. Paul said that. So with our free will, we have to surrender our hearts to God. We have to surrender our soul to God and say, God, use me today. And it could be daily, it could be moments, it could be every hour. You say, God, use me in this hour. God, use me now because I'm not connecting. What's going on? I need this. I need you. I need you more. I need you more. And then the last one, and this is the hardest one, is we have to surrender our minds. This thing plays tricks on me all the time. Telling me that people are saying stuff that they're not. Or I misread people and I just think, oh, that situation, I bet they're mad at me. And some people probably in this room have come up to you and said, are you mad at me? I'm sorry. And they say, no. And I'm like, oh, I've been fretting over this for 2 weeks. I've been worried about how you're handling this and how this is going. And God's like, no. But how many times do we talk ourselves out of stuff? The biggest thing I have is when I'm at work, I say, I'm at Kroger's. I can't talk about God. I'm on a corporate thing. And you know what? People come up and talk to me about God and gives me the opening. You know, so many people, you know, come up and they're like, oh, yeah. He goes, well, I don't see you anymore. That's the number one thing people come up to me and say. I work 2 days a week at Kroger's. They go, we don't see you anymore. And I go, well, I'm here. I'm right here. Hey. And they're like, no, we're in here all the time and we don't see you. I'm like, well, I only work a couple days a week. And they're like, why is that? And I'm like, well, because I became a youth pastor. And then most of them, you know, start buttoning their shirts and tucking in their, you know, okay, and you know, you're a pastor. I have to address you the way it is. And I'm like, yeah, it's not like that at all. It's not like that at all. But if we surrender ourselves, if we look through the book of Romans, that's really what it's about. It's about our identity and who we are. And we could walk through Romans, but trust me, you do not want to be here till 3 o'clock this afternoon. As we go through how in depth that is, you know, meaning that we are with Christ, not just physically, but we have been crucified with Christ, but yet I live, not I, but Christ who lives within me. That means the old me is gone. He's died with Christ. So how do we focus for 2018? And we're going to spend some time in prayer today. Is that okay? Is that okay if we spend some time interceding for one another today? Is that okay if we commune with God today? And we take communion and we remember what He did for us? Is it okay if we worship a little later? Is that okay? Are we on a time frame today? I tell you, and I want to apologize for that. I was the big advocate of hour-long services. I want to be. We tried that 1 week, and God kicked me in the rear end. You know, and he's like, and I'm like, well, everybody else is doing hour-long services. We should do it too. We want young people. But you know what? If God moves, he's going to bring whoever he wants to bring. If we are obedient. Not saying I didn't walk to the woodshed with that one, because I did. You know, the week after, man, I was just like, oh, this isn't working. What's going on? And God's like, and Kim brought it up great last week. We were talking. And he's like, we need to be our identity. We need to be New Life Church. There it is. How about we be what God tells us to be? Instead of trying to be the next big thing or follow what other people are doing. If we seek first the kingdom of God, he knows what new life is. It may be different than what we see now. Are you okay with that? If we're seeking God together and it's different than this? Are you okay with that? If it's God's will? Are you spending time in stillness with God? I don't spend enough time in stillness with God. My dad, great man of God, every morning he gets up at 3:30 in the morning. My mom said he was up at 1 in the morning the other night, but he just retired, so he has all this energy from working and he doesn't know how to do it. So, but he gets up at 3:30 every morning. And I can tell you, when I was a kid, if I had to get up and do something in the middle of the night, he was up at 3:30. Why? Because he spends time praying and just being still before the Lord. I'm telling you, you do not interrupt Dad from 3:30 to 4:30 in the morning. Because that's his quiet time. That's his time where he's communing with God. Asking God what I need to do for the day. You know, I may be weak. I may not want to do this. But what do you have for me today? Who can I speak to? Are you spending time in quiet before God? And I'm not even talking about praying yet. I'm just saying quietness, stillness. Me, man, I feel like I always have to have background noise. Something going on over here. You know, I'm like, okay, God, I want to be quiet before you. Was that enough? And God's like, no, if you truly just meditate on me and what and who I am and get our hearts surrendered and get our minds surrendered and get our soul surrendered to who God is. If we can wrap our being around who God is, How much more effective can we be for God? I don't know about you, but I want to be effective for God. How much time are you spending in worship every day? And worship isn't just listening to worship music on the radio. At our house, we have WFRN running 24/7. It's in our kitchen. We have it on the radio. We just want good, wholesome things in our house all the time. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about when you're doing the dishes and you hear the song come on the radio and you start singing. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking dedicated time to worship the King of Kings. Other than Sunday morning. Other than Wednesday night. It's great when we come together during corporate worship. It's great. God moves in a mighty way. But if we were worshiping God every day of our lives, and then we bring that into our corporate house of worship, how much more would the move of God be if we were taking personal responsibility for ourselves and our obedience to who God is? That's what I'm trying to do more. And you don't have to play guitar. You don't have to sing. Just put a CD on and say, I'm going to focus on this to connect with God. Spending time in prayer. Interceding for one another. So right now, how many people are praying for somebody right now? Wholeheartedly. We want to see salvations, right? We want to see the prodigals return, right? Man, everybody should be praying for somebody lost or somebody who needs to return back to the fold, return back to the church. Now, if we do that personally, how much better when we intercede for one another in the church? In our hearts, we're already knitted with God. We already understand the direction God's leading us because we are taking the personal responsibility we need to. You want to see victory in your life? Start walking the path God laid out for you. Because we're the ones who mess it up. We're the ones that say, you know what, God? I see that you want me to go this way, but I got something to do over here. And then we wonder why we get in this big mess all the time. At least I do. I worry why I get in this big old mess and God bail me out. And he's like, that's not the path I had for you. And you're like, oh, you know, I'm a worthless whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I tell myself that I'm this, but he restores us right back to where we were. Say, God, I'm sorry. But how much heartache would we save ourselves if we were communing with God daily? It says, pray without ceasing. How many people talk to God all day long, off and on? And I do. You know, Jody probably thinks I'm nuts. But sometimes I lay in bed and I just go, dear Lord, just help me right now. Take away this thing and blah, blah, blah. And I'll just say it right there. And she's like, okay, amen. You know, but that's just what it is. How quick would it be if something came on our mind and we just spoke it? God, help us. Help me in this, Lord. Help this person. Help all these things, you know. I'm not even talking about speaking in tongues and doing all that stuff. I'm just saying, if we commune with God and we understand that He is our Father who wants so much for us, and we were to give, surrender our lives, how much more effective would we be? And we're not even asking that lot. Spend quiet time with God. Worship God. Pray to God. The next thing I have is spend time listening to God's response. That's different than being still before God. I was reading, I have a lot of scriptures here. I don't want to go through them all because we spend, you know, all day going back and forth. But I was reading about Elijah and how he was up on the mountain after he just slayed, 450 prophets of Baal. And then Jezebel came and he went and hide. You know, he went and hid. And God said, I'm going to speak to you. But it wasn't in an earthquake. It wasn't this real loud thing. It wasn't in the loud wind. It wasn't in the fire. What was it? A still small voice. How many people wish God would just scream at us? You're doing the wrong thing! That'd be great, right? Hey, dummy! I wish that was the case. I wish he'd go, hey, Brad! Over here! That's not the case. Most of the time, it's God's leading is that still small voice in ourselves. That God speaks to our hearts and speaks to our spirit. And you just have this peace that over, when you know it's God's will, how many people just find that peace that just falls? There is no more confrontation. There is no more bucking left and right. Because we heard the voice of God. It's not an audible thing. I wish it was. You know, I wish God would take a baseball bat and hit me upside the head sometimes just to get my attention, because I'm so, let's do this, you know. I pick out songs, and Roger can attest to this too. I pick out songs for worship. It never fails, except for today. Every Sunday morning I go, hey Roger, I changed the set. Why? Because God changed the direction. I picked out songs that I like to do. Not going to lie. There's songs I like to do. You all know them because we sing them over and over and over and over again. All right. I was told I have to retire No Longer Slaves for at least 2 months. Because we've done that 100 times in the last 3 months. So, but that's one of my favorite songs because the scripture behind it. You know, I am no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. It's right where we've been in our position. It's one of my favorite songs. Worship team doesn't like it anymore. I don't like it. I like it, but let's find something new. But what is that? That's the leading of God. So many times I go in the prayer room and then I come out and I just like, we got to change some songs around. We haven't practiced them. We haven't done anything. And it's like, go get this song. I used to make Sierra do it. Go get this song. And then we come back out and I'm like, okay, we're going to do this and this. I'm trying to coordinate before service. Hey, we're trying to do this song and this song and this song and this song. You know? But what happens is those songs usually that pop in there are the most impactful songs of the day. Because why? I'm trusting in God. I'm submitting myself. And most of the time it happens right after prayer that God speaks to us. If I listen, if we would shut this more and open these more, we'd probably get a lot farther. Are you guys hearing me today? The next thing is spending time in the Word. That pretty much goes without saying, right? When I have young people ask me, I want to start a Bible study. Where should I start? And I say, Numbers. No, I don't. Leviticus, please. No. No, we don't. We don't start there. Where do we start? We start in the Gospels. How about we learn about what Jesus said? And then what do? We walk in through Paul's life, right? We walk into the Romans. We walk into these things that is easy on us to read. I like the Old Testament, but I have not spent near enough time in the Old Testament than I should. Because I like the happy things. I like Jesus. Not going to lie, I like learning about Jesus. I like seeing how determined Paul was to further the kingdom. That's stuff that gets me excited. You know, when Paul gets beat half to death to go to Rome, and then he heals up, and then what does he do? Well, I'm still got to go to Rome. God didn't change his mind. I still got to go to further the kingdom. I want that heart. I want to be that person. I want that to move in me. Now, when I read about famine and pestilence and things of the Old Testament, that's not real inviting things. You know, when I read about being a slave for hundreds of years, that's not things that I want to fill my mind with. I don't like those things. So I try to focus on the New Testament, but so many times the Word of God doesn't return void. So where's a good place to start in here? Anywhere. How about this? We listen to God and He tells us what He wants to speak to us that day. Well, we already did that because we spent time in quiet. We spent time worshiping God. We spent time praying. We spent time listening. And if God doesn't audibly speak to us then, I guess I know where He's going to speak to us. Right here. Right here is where God's going to speak to us. Do you know that God has a plan for each of you? All right, let me say that again. Do you all know that you have a plan? God has made a plan for you. Do you know that that plan requires you to make disciples in some way or another? How do we know this? Because the Scripture says, right? That we need to go out and make disciples. It's one of what Jesus said at the last, right? It's one of the last things He said. Go out to all the world and make disciples. What happens if we bring each of our callings into this house and everybody brings it full force and brings what they have? Maybe you have the gift of evangelism. Maybe that's not your thing. But maybe you're a prayer warrior. Maybe you're an encourager. Maybe God has given you the gift of wisdom, of knowledge, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, healing. Some of you haven't found it yet, what your gift is. Some of you have known it, but you've been hiding it. Am I talking to you guys? Can you hear it? What happens if you know what your call is and then you bring it into the body of believers? We're submitting ourselves before God. The reason why I talk so much about personal responsibility, because the church can't grow without that. With each of us doing what we're supposed to be doing every day and being excited about finding God. Now I'm going to say you're going to go through some stuff in seeking God. You're going to go through some stretching times. I remember 2.5 years ago, I went through a stretching time because before I got here, I can count a handful of times that I've sang and played guitar in front of people. That is not what I'm comfortable doing. I am comfortable sitting behind a drum set, in the back, away from people, and trusting that God's going to use me while I'm playing those drums. Until God said, hey, you're supposed to be the worship leader here. And I said, no, I'm not. He goes, no. I go, well, we don't have a drummer then. That was my excuse. We don't have a drummer then. And God's like, I don't want a drummer. I want you to be the worship leader here. And I'm like, well, we already got a worship leader. Danny's here. Little to know that God's big plan is that 2 months after that, Danny has a stroke. I'm not saying God allowed Danny to have a stroke. I'm not saying that. I think there's healing for Danny. I think Danny's going to get up and walk this year in the name of Jesus. But if God's timing wasn't in all that, we would have had a lot of people just looking at each other going, what are we going to do now? But it was a seamless transition. You know, Danny's heart was so great. When I looked at him, I go, are you sure? He goes, I'm ready, bud. You know, in his deep baritone voice, I'm ready. Let's worship God together, you know, and just ready to go after it. But what is that? That means Danny was submitted to God. He told me flat out when I first joined the worship team and was talking to him, he goes, I don't want to be leading worship that much longer. And I was like, oh, come on, you have to do it. You know, the presence of God is there. Danny gets so excited, you know. He's just, you know, it's contagious. You know, I still remember the Sunday when he was running circles in here. Ruha! All over the place, right? He's excited. He knew that victory was happening. Yeah. Danny's been leading worship for a long time. But I've learned so much from Danny in a mentoring aspect. Danny was showing me things in worship that I've never seen before. He was showing me how to get into the presence of God through worship. He was showing me, hey, quit worrying about how you're playing. I don't care if you hit wrong notes. Are you giving your whole heart to God? Are we giving our whole heart to God? That means, are we giving what He called us to do to the body? If you'll switch to 1 Corinthians, I promise only another hour of preaching. Joking. We're about there. Hey, I got to the second page. That's pretty good. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. I'm in the NIV today. Smile if you're there. 12:12. 1 Corinthians 12:12. So we talked about personal responsibility and how that's important, right? We need to be ready. We need to be ready for ourselves. Be ready to present ourselves to God. But then we have to be able to present that back to the church. And why is that? Well, this scripture says it. The body is a unit. Through it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all given one Spirit to drink. It goes on to there and talks about how there's no lesser part of the body than the other. If we continue reading that, you know, an eye is as important as a hand, the foot as important as the brain. All those things work together so we can function. You know, some of you are hands in the body, some of you are feet, some of you are legs. Some of you are other things, ears. Some of you are all these parts, because all these parts have to come together for the body to be what? Whole. To be one. What's your role in the body? I got saved when I was 11 years old. And up until I was 31, I didn't know what my role was in the body. God spoke to me a lot. You know, I thought at 20 years old I was going to be a youth pastor. God showed me very clearly that He wants me to work in with youth. Almost 12 years later, that finally fulfilled. Why? Because I had a lot to go through. I had a lot of growing up to do. I lived in this bubble with all my Christian friends and all my Christian family. Wouldn't trade that for the world. But what was it? I had to go out into the world and find something to connect. I think that's what God really did. Is I even though I was away from the Lord, God used that now so I could connect with young people, so I can understand what they're going through. I understand the temptations that they're going through. I understand the hardship it is to be a Christian through high school. I understand that because I was one. And did I handle everything great? No. But what is your role? What's your identity in Christ? What is your part? And I'm going to be very honest, and I hope you all love me. Is that okay? You all love me? Everything great? All right. If not, we'll talk later. If you're attending church regularly, on a regular basis, you should be active. You should be active in the body. And that's not just wishful thinking. That's not just, you know, I'm one of the pastors at the church, so I'm saying, hey, y'all need to do stuff. I'm tired of doing it. That's not it at all. For your own growth, we should be active in the body. Why? Because the body has many parts. And trust me, you don't want me to do something that I'm not good at. You don't want me repairing things around the church. That's not a good idea. But can Tom do it? Absolutely. You don't want me teaching little kids Sunday school. First off, God gave me patience, but not that much. No, he has. But you know what? I don't relate with little kids. Especially in this church, we have a church full of little girls. I don't get that. I don't understand what they're going through and how they see things. You know, my daughter always walks up and goes, "Play Barbies with me." And I'm like, "No, I don't know what that is. I don't know how to play Barbies." You learn. Yeah. I have on occasion tried to do something remotely looking like playing with Barbies. But it's usually because I had Ken and he was playing G.I. Joe. But that's what I'm saying is we are all one. So if you attend on a regular basis, and some of you have been sitting on the bench for a little bit, that's okay. There's times to rest. There's times to go through things. There's times to not be as involved. Does that mean we stop? I think sometimes we have some people who are keep going, who needs to sit down and take a break for a minute so they can regroup. Well, if everybody's sitting on the bench, resting, you know, another basketball term, there has to be five up ready to go and play, right? And each role has to be done in a right way. Some of you are teaching Sunday school. Some of you are fixing the things around the church. Some of you, God has spoken to you what you're supposed to do, and you're not walking in that. Am I at home? Are you hearing me? Has God already showed you what you're supposed to be doing? It's getting real quiet. But that's okay, because I hope it means you're thinking, or you know what God has said to you. What's your identity? First off, what's your personal identity in Christ? God has picked a role for you to do. What is that role? Finding that can be fulfilling. Some of you are intercessors, and I appreciate you guys. You know, I know when I'm going through a lot, and a couple years ago, that was the case. Man, I'm glad we have elders here. Men of God who will set down what their busy schedules in their lives to listen to the spiritual needs of the church. Sometimes I feel like I'm on an island and no one can relate with me. But then Pastor Rick comes in. He goes, "Hey, I've been through that. Hey, let me help you." And I appreciate that a lot. I appreciate the mature people we have in this church. That's not a way of saying you're old. That's just maturity in Christ. You know, that when we have us younger generation, and I hope and I pray that more younger people will come in, that there's people here to disciple the younger people. That's a healthy body. So personally, walking what God has called you to do. Secondly, is walking what you're supposed to be doing inside this body, this specific body at New Life. Because if we are all doing what we're supposed to be doing, we never have to worry if something's going to get covered. We'll never have to worry if, oh man, somebody brought a young person. Is somebody in the nursery today? We won't have to worry about that because it's already covered because everybody's doing what their role is in the body. We don't have to worry about whether or not we have a sound guy or a guy who does the... You know, Roger and Dan are great because they're here every week. But we don't have to worry about that because it's already being fulfilled because we're doing what God is calling us to do. The last thing comes in is, what is New Life's body in the kingdom as a whole? Shameless plug. And this is not a commercial for the upstairs. I'm just saying. What I'm saying is if we all are doing our parts. But the last thing is what is New Life's identity in the kingdom of God? So it starts with yourself, local church, kingdom. There are some things I think we are in the body. in the kingdom. I think we have loving people who want to show the family love that people probably don't have. You know, I look around and we have moms and dads. We have grandma and grandpas. For kids who, or kids or young people who don't have that. For people who don't have that. We have love of a family. How do you know that? Is go sit around after service, around the tables, and see how people interact with each other. They love them. We love each other. You know, I'm real new to this family. And if you look at it, you know, I think we've been here, what, 4 years, 4 or 5 years now? But we're very new to New Life Family compared to everybody else. You know, you got people who've been here 30 years, 20 years, you know? But how much you guys have welcomed us. That's things we need to share with the outside world. That love for one another, that family atmosphere. It can be the best thing in the world for us, or it could be the worst thing. It all depends on how we're submitted to God through it and what we're doing. I think we have great prayer warriors here. And I'm sad to see that Gene's not here today. But man, I take advantage of Gene Stiller a lot. Because if I'm going through something, I sit next to Gene. And I say, Gene, I'm going through something. I need prayer. Oh, I'm praying for you already. You know, that's her heart. I'm already praying for you. And she looked at me. She goes, last week she put her hand on my shoulder and she says, I got your back and I got your front and you're covered. You know, 90 years old. And I'm okay with that. I got your back and I got your front and you're covered. Hallelujah. Do you have your neighbor's back? And their front. And are they covered in your prayers? We want to spend time in prayer today. What an awesome privilege we have. Roger, if you want to start the soft music. What an awesome privilege we have that 10 people from this body is extending the kingdom in Mexico. I was thinking about this. What an awesome thing that from this body of believers that we've extended the kingdom into Uganda with Margaret. How many people would have thought Margaret would be in Uganda right now? When I first met Margaret, I was like, okay, you're Margaret. I got it. You know, great heart. Trusting God and God's leading. I think she's going to end up in Indonesia one day. Because that's what God has told her. And when God has spoke to her, she hasn't wavered from that. If you notice. I think of James and Amy. And how when God spoke to them about joining Time to Revive, there was no wavering anymore. I'm sure at times they've had to increase their faith. But what does that happen? That comes from prayers from the people in here. That this people can go and fulfill what God is doing. If you want to dim the lights down too, Roger. Is it okay we spend some time in prayer today? Is that okay? Praying for one another? We do want to spend time praying for our missions team. But I think foremost, what we need to do, and I know on Jody and I's heart, down in there, we need to pray for our families. Not gonna lie, it's been a tough year. But 2008 is a new year. And some of you have been through that with family since 2018 is a new year. I almost got it. Yeah, I almost got it. You guys were following me, right? So 2018 is a new year. That means new blessings for your family. That means new things that are going to happen in the name of Jesus. So this is what I want to do. I want you guys to stand and we're going to pray today. And if you need prayer for your family, we are just going to come forward. If you need prayer for your family, anybody in your family who are lost and not saved, and just line up. We're not going to lay hands today and pray unless God's leading us that direction. But what we're going to do is we're going to stand in unity for these people who have family that need saved. And we're going to stand and we're going to be bold. And we're going to proclaim the name of Jesus over their lives. As I look around, some of you have children. Some of you have spouses. Some of you have everything that's going on. You just need Jesus. And you just need Jesus so much that you want to see your kids saved. You want to see your grandkids saved. You want to see your husband, your fathers, your mothers, all these things. And we're just going to speak it out in the name of Jesus. Is that okay? Let's just pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you. You are a holy God. You are an all-consuming fire. Lord, you know our hearts. You hear our hearts, oh God. Lord, we stand for those who have not yet seen you, Lord. We stand for those who have not yet come to you, oh God. Lord, we speak their names. Go ahead and speak their names out right now, Lord. That you hear their names, Lord. You hear who they are, Lord. And we claim the blood of Jesus over their lives right now. In the name of Jesus over these people. Lord, in my own life, Lord, we pray for Ethan, oh God. And we ask that you move in his heart. Lord, we ask that you speak into his life in a very powerful way, oh God. We love you, oh God. Move in us today. Move in our families, oh God. Lord, we speak to the prodigals who need to return, oh God. We speak that God is going to move in a mighty way today. In their lives, Lord. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us words, Lord. Create divine appointments, oh God. Help us to be submitted to you, oh God. We trust you, oh God. Just pray out, oh God. Just pray.